We're going to turn our Bibles this evening to John chapter 14, a passage of Scripture that the Lord led my heart to. Actually, it's been something that's been kind of been thinking about and pondering for the last couple weeks, and felt like the Lord would have me to preach this evening. So John chapter 14 in our Bibles, and we're going to ask ourselves this question tonight. Do you know the Father? Now, we're not talking about knowing Him as far as salvation, but that's important as well. But how well do you know the Father? We're going to talk about some ways that we can get to know the Father better tonight, some ways that we can get to know the Father better. So if you would, look at John chapter 14. And I would say perhaps you might be familiar with John chapter 14 just because of the verses that come prior to where we're going to start this evening. We're going to start tonight in verse number 7, but the verses that come before or prior to that are the verses that Jesus gives encouragements. He says to the disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now remember, this is one of those passages of Scripture where we understand that the Bible is laid out for us with the chapter and the verse breakdowns. But if the passage would just continue on into John chapter 14 from John chapter 13, we would understand that Jesus is giving these words to His disciples as words of comfort or words of encouragement. He has just told them He is going to leave them, and He is going to die on a cross, and He would suffer the death of the cross and finish the work that God had called Him to do. And then He also let them know that when I do leave you, I'm not going to leave you alone. The encouragement that He gives, I'm not going to leave you alone. And as a matter of fact, He addresses that quite a bit here in John 14 as well, which is something that we're going to look at tonight. But I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to be able to give you the power to do the work that God has called you to do. And so He is comforting His disciples and encouraging them right before He does go to the cross and die on the cross for the sins of the world. And so He talks there of His return. He's in my Father's house, He says, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go and to prepare a place for you. And then He gives us that promise, doesn't He? If I go and prepare a place for you, remember the next few words, I will come again. Gives the promise, doesn't He? Receive ye unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so we see that Christ tells of His return, that the return that is going to take place. And He says in verse 4, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. But remember, Thomas said, how can we know the way? And then Jesus gives in His words here on earth that very familiar Bible verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But then we get to verse number 7, and this is where we're going to look this evening at some words that are seen in this verse that I trust will be a challenge to us as we think tonight, how well do we know the Father, and some ways that God has given to us that we can know the Father better and to have a deeper relationship with the Father. And I think there are some verses that kind of describe for us how we can have that a deeper relationship with the Father and come to know Him even better. And really, we're going to see this as we go through here, but really that ought to be our desire anyway, to get to know Jesus better every single day. And that's part of having a walk with Him, right? We walk with Him. We sang that this morning in the choir. Remember, keep walking with the Lord. We walk with Him every day so that we can get to know more and more about Him. We can be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to know Him more. We want to know what His will for our lives is and what He would have us to do. And so let's look at what's said here in verse number 7 of John chapter 14. It says, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, He says, ye know Him and have seen Him. Now the encouragement of verse number 7 is this. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to know the Father, do we? We can know the Father today. We don't have to wait to get to heaven. We look forward to heaven now. There's no doubt about that. We look forward to heaven. We look forward to getting to see Jesus face to face and be able to be in heaven with our loved ones. And we have that hope of heaven if we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can know Him today. And we can receive from the Father the spiritual resources that we need to live the Christian life. And so He has left us with a knowledge of Him, and He has also left us with all the resources that we need to live the Christian life that He has called us to live. So He calls us, and then he's able to equip us to do the work that he desires for us to do. So what is Jesus saying here to the disciples here in verse number seven, of John chapter 14? Jesus was the same while he was here on his earthly ministry. To know Jesus was the same as knowing the Father. And to see Jesus was the same as seeing the Father. And so Jesus was in words relaying to the disciples that he is God, and he was God while he was here on earth, the Son of God, 100% God and 100% man while he was dwelling here on earth. And so to be able to see Jesus was to see the Father. To be able to know Jesus was to know the Father. And so tonight, what does it mean to know the Father? And how can we know the Father better? Maybe just some thoughts tonight to encourage you, maybe some things that obviously we already are doing in our lives, but just to help us and to encourage us from this passage in John chapter number 14 to answer that question. What does it mean to know the Father? Now, the word know in the Bible, and really even here in the book of John just specifically, if we would just narrow this down to just the book of John, the word know is used in just the book of John 141 times. So that word know is mentioned 141 times in just this gospel. As a matter of fact, we see it here in verse number 7 mentioned. It says, "And from henceforth ye know him." So the word know is mentioned there in the book of John in chapter 14, verse 7, the verse we just read. But it's used 141 times in the book of John. But here's what we have to understand. It has different meanings. So the word know is used in different ways in the Bible. So it's used 141 times in the book of John. But throughout the Bible, when we see that word know, it has different meanings. And there are in the Scripture, throughout the Word of God, there are four different even levels of using this word know, or to know something in Scripture. And so I want us to take the time to look at those four different levels, and I want to start with the lowest level and get to the highest level. The first two ways or meanings or definitions that we would use for the word know that are in the Bible deal with the mental part of knowing. So there's a mental part of knowing something, right? So we know something with our minds, or we have the mental part of knowing something. So the first way that we would describe, or maybe perhaps we would word it as the lowest level of that word know that we see used in different ways in the Scripture, is just to simply know a fact. So it's possible to know a fact, and the Bible uses that word know to describe just the simple thought of knowing a fact. But then the next level up from that, the word know that's used throughout the Bible, has the idea again with the mental part. It's the idea of not only knowing a fact, but to understand the truths that are a part of that fact, or that make up that fact. So we know a fact, and then we understand the truth behind that fact. But what is an important thing to remember is that we could, let's think about our eternity. Let's think about salvation today. We could know a fact when it comes to our Bible and our salvation. And we could even understand a truth behind that fact. But I think all of you would agree with me, it doesn't mean that just because we know a fact and even understand a truth behind or about that fact, it doesn't mean that a person would necessarily know Jesus as their Savior. So you could know a fact, you could even understand some truths about it. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about how the devil even believes and he even trembles, but yet we understand that he's not going to heaven. So the first word, know, that describes something mentally here with our minds is just to know a fact. And then the second way in which that word is used is to understand the truth that's behind that fact. But the next two ways in which the word know is used in Scripture, they deal with relationships. Now, this is where it gets really important for us. When we trust Jesus as our Savior, we have a relationship with Him, don't we? And so the third level that we wanted to describe, or to give you a definition of, is be able to get a knowledge for something, or to know as far as our relationship would be concerned, to get a knowledge of something, or to become better acquainted with something. And that would apply to a relationship. I could get better knowledge of a person. And that would apply, I think we could think, we could certainly apply this tonight of a marriage relationship. We get to know more about our spouse that God has blessed us with. And we get to know more all the time as we get to see the things that perhaps encourage them, make them happy, the things that maybe are struggles or maybe weaknesses in their life. And so we're getting a little bit better acquainted with an individual as far as a relationship is concerned. We're getting better acquainted with them. And in Scripture, I think we all understand this well enough to know also that God uses the word know in Scripture to describe even the intimacy between a man and a woman. So we could go to Scripture passages where it talks about a man and a woman that would know one another, or they knew each other. And it gives the idea of the intimacy of a relationship in Scripture as well. But the last level is the level that we want to concentrate on for a few minutes tonight, and we want this to be the level of knowledge that we have for our Savior. The fourth level of knowledge, or the word know that's described and used in the Bible, is having a deeper relationship. Having a deeper communion as far as our relationship is concerned. And that's the way we ought to know our Heavenly Father. We ought to get to know Him and have a deep relationship with Him. A deep communion with Him. Again, describing that walk, that word walk, where we walk with the Lord. And so, would you look, I want you to keep your place here in John, because we're going to look at a few more verses in John 14. But would you look really quickly at Philippians chapter 3, because I think this is what Paul means. When we read Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10, I think this is what Paul is trying to establish here. He wants to know God in a deeper way. He wants to have a deeper communion with Him. And so it says in Philippians chapter 3, if you would find your place there and you would look down in verse number 10, it says this, and by the way, this would be good as we read what Paul says here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. This would be good for all of us here, the challenge that Paul gives. He says that I may know Him, that I may get to know Jesus. Now, we understand that when he's using that word know there, he's not describing getting to know Him through salvation. Paul already knows that. He's already got that knowledge. He's already put his faith and trust in Christ. But to have a deeper relationship with the Lord, to have a deeper communion. Again, we could go back to the illustration of a spouse. It's not that you're saying you have to get married again. It's just saying I want to get to know my spouse better every single day. Get to know them better so that I can encourage them, so that I can do things that will help them. To be able to strengthen our marriage. So we're going to get to know each other better. And so Paul's not speaking of coming to know Christ as his Savior there, but he is saying, I want to have a deeper relationship with Him. I want to have deeper communion with Him. So he says this, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. Some things that Paul says, I want to know. I want to understand the power and know the power of His resurrection. I want to understand the fellowship of His sufferings. I understand that Jesus suffered and He went through a lot as He suffered and died for me. And there's times, Paul understands, there's times I'm going to go through suffering. And so I want to get to know God well enough so that I can understand the fellowship of His sufferings. And by the way, if we would read through the story and the life of Paul, we would understand that Paul did go through a lot of suffering, didn't he? And so he wanted to understand what Christ went through when he suffered so that he could be able to have a knowledge of what Christ went through. And then he said, being made conformable unto His death. Here's what Paul's trying to say. We ought to constantly get to know the Lord more every single day. Let us never get to a place where we feel like we've exhausted our knowledge of our God that we serve. But to get to know Him better every day, to make sure that we're walking closely to Him every day and we're growing to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go back to John chapter 14. And I want to go down a few verses past where we were there in verse number 7. And I want us to notice this deeper relationship that we mentioned there in verse number 7 when we talked about the four ways in which the word know is used and how that God desires that we know Him or have a deeper relationship with Him, a deeper communion with Him. And I think we're going to notice, starting in verse number 19, down through verse number 24, we're going to notice that this deeper relationship with the Lord is described. And we're going to use a few of these verses. We won't use all of them, but we're going to use a few of these verses. And I want us to notice how this deeper relationship with Christ is described in the past when Jesus deals with the disciples. So we understand that the disciples aren't on earth anymore, but He had some dealings with the disciples in this chapter, in this passage of Scripture. And He talked to them about how they were going to get to know Him better. And so we think in the past when Jesus deals with the disciples. And then we want to talk about in the present, as far as ourselves as believers are concerned. What does God desire that we do in the present so that we can get to know Him better and we can have a deeper relationship and communion with Him? And then we want to deal with the future as well. That future knowledge that we're going to have of God. We'll talk about that in just a minute as well. But look with me if you would. We're going to talk in the past here as far as this knowledge is concerned as He deals with the disciples. Look at verse number 19 if you would. Jesus speaking with the disciples here. And He says some things to them here. Notice verse number 19. He says this. Yet a little while, and the world seeth Me no more. Now, what is Jesus talking about here in verse number 19? Well, He's going to die on the cross, and He's going to be buried, and He's going to rise again, but He's letting them know this is the focus is on His resurrection. The focus is on the fact that He's going to die, He's going to be buried. He is going to rise again, but He's saying those that are in the world, they're going to see Me no more. But He says this to His disciples as He deals with His resurrection. He says to them, notice the next few words, but ye see Me. But ye see Me, He says. And then notice the end of verse number 19, and we're going to come back to this in a little while, so we'll read it and then we'll come back to it. He says, because I live, ye, He says, shall live also. So Jesus is dealing with His disciples here, and the focus of verse number 19 is on His resurrection. But not only on His resurrection, but also the events that take place after His resurrection as well, because He's going to appear before His disciples. As a matter of fact, He'll be on earth here for 40 days after His resurrection, and there'll be some times in which He will visit and appear before His disciples. So He says to the disciples, you're going to see Me again, but what does He say of the world now? Before we pass on so quickly past that part, what does He say of the world? Look at verse number 19. He says this. Yet a little while, and the world seeth Me no more. The last time the world saw Him was when His body was taken off of that cross. That's the last time the world saw Him. But there is going to come a time, the Bible tells us, the next time the world will see Him. And the next time they see Him, the Bible lays this out within a few verses that are found in the Gospels as well. The next time is going to be when He comes in power and in great glory. You've heard that passage of Scripture before. He's going to come in power and in great glory. And when He comes in power and great glory, what's He going to do? The Bible tells us He's going to judge this world. And the Bible tells us He is going to rule over this world as well. So He says to those that are in the world, they will see Me no more until the next time they see Me when I come in power and in great glory. I'm going to rule on this world and I'm going to judge this world as well. But, He says to the disciples, you will see Me. Notice, again, the middle part of that verse. He says, but ye see Me. The disciples would see Him again. Now, we're going to think about the ways in which the disciples would see Him. The disciples were going to see Him after He rose from the grave because He was going to appear before them after His resurrection. So yes, is Jesus talking about the fact that they're going to see Him after His resurrection? Yes, He's talking about that. He's talking about the time that He is going to, they're going to be able to see Him at His ascension as well. They're going to see Him as He goes into the clouds. Remember, the Bible tells they stand there and they're watching as He goes into the clouds, and the angel says, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus which is gone into heaven now is going to come in like manner. And so encourages them to go and do the work that God has called them to do. So yes, they're going to see Him at His ascension as well. But also, they're going to see him in a different way than which the world sees him, in which the world sees him. As a matter of fact, it's the same way we see him today. They see him through eyes of faith, don't they? So when Jesus does ascend into heaven, he's letting his disciples know, you're still going to see me because you're going to be able to see me through eyes of faith. You're going to still be able to have communion with me even in my absence. You'll still be able to see me through eyes of faith. Now, can I ask you tonight, by way of application, do you see him tonight through eyes of faith? Have you put your faith and trust in him for salvation? And then do you see him through eyes of faith tonight? Or are you at times living in fear instead of faith? Let's live by faith. Let's trust the Lord. Let's see him in eyes with eyes of faith and know that he is working all the situations and circumstances of our life in accordance to his will. Let's learn to trust him. Let's see him through eyes of faith, even though we haven't seen him with our physical eyes. These disciples had seen him. But he says, you're still going to see me. You're going to be able to see me with eyes of faith. Let's look at Jesus through the eyes of faith. But then would you notice verse number 20? Because Jesus tells them the way in which they're going to get to know him better. As a matter of fact, you remember as we study through the Gospels, you remember Jesus' earthly ministry. He had been telling the disciples some things and they were confused about it, weren't they? They weren't completely understanding all the things that Jesus was telling them. And so Jesus says, there is going to come. There's going to be a way in which you're going to know more about me and you're going to understand things that maybe perhaps you're confused about right now. Let's notice how he describes this. Would you look at verse number 20? To his disciples, he says, at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now, there's some unique things that we see here in verse number 20. He's talking about the day in which the Holy Spirit is going to indwell them at the day of Pentecost, which we would see in Acts chapter number 2 of our Bible. So if we're not going to take the time to go there tonight, but in Acts chapter number 2, when the Holy Spirit indwells these men for the work that he had called them to do. And so he says to them, at that day, or at that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost comes to indwell you, he says, notice this, ye shall know. Ye shall know. Now remember, there were some things that they were confused about. But he said, at that point, you're going to know and understand God's power. You're going to know and understand his presence in your life. First and foremost, because his Holy Spirit is going to indwell you. And God's presence is going to be there with you. I'm going to go away, but God's presence is still going to be there in the person of the Holy Spirit. You're going to get to sense his presence. You're going to get to know his power is there. And at that point, at that day, Jesus says to his disciples, at that moment, the Holy Spirit is going to give you understanding of what Jesus has been trying to teach you. I've been trying to teach you these things, and at first you may not have understood. But at that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is going to help you. He's going to help you to understand these things that I've been teaching. But then notice what he says at the end of verse number 20. He says this at the end of verse number 20. He says, I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He gives the idea of oneness when it comes to believers with their Lord. There's a oneness there. And isn't that true today? There's a oneness as far as believers with the God that we serve. A unity that cannot be severed. We have a oneness, or we have a unity in Christ. And so that what he's speaking to his disciples here, we have to understand that this applies to us today as well. You say, well, wait a minute. We did not see Jesus after his resurrection. He didn't come to visit us. We weren't standing there when he ascended into heaven. We weren't there on the day of Pentecost where the Holy Spirit empowered those disciples. But we are still in unity with the Lord, and we are still living in oneness with the Lord because we have the Holy Spirit that indwells us at the moment we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. So we were not there when he rose again. We were not there when he appeared before his disciples and when he ascended into heaven and that day of Pentecost. But we still can live in unity and in oneness with our Lord because of the fact that the Holy Spirit indwells us. So we said all of that in verse 19 and verse number 20. In the past, he's speaking to his disciples here, but it still applies to us today because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit that lives in us today. So we said all that to say this. How do we get to know God the Father better? Here's how we get to know God the Father better. Because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have God with us, don't we? And so we get to know God the Father better because of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. That same Holy Spirit that gave power to those disciples, he indwells us today, doesn't he? And he lives within us. The Bible says our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have, O God. You're not your own, for you're bought with a price. So we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So how can we get to know the Father better? Well, we can get to know him better because of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Aren't you thankful that you have God living inside of you? And you can get to know him better because he dwells with you. But then there's another challenge, and this is for us in the present day. How can we get to know God the Father better? In the present day, Jesus gives some encouragement to all of us as believers. So this is for all of us as believers. Would you look with me, if you would, at verse number 21? We're still here in John chapter 14. Would you look at verse number 21 and see the encouragement that God gives to all of us, or Jesus gives to all of us as believers? Look at verse number 21. He says this. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now, here's something I want you to notice as I read through two verses here. I want you to notice the repetition of the word love. I want us to see that. So I wanted to say that to you before I read all of these verses, because I want you to notice in these two verses the repetition of the word love. Look at what it says at the middle of verse number 21 there. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, what do we want God to do? We want to know him better. I'll make myself known to him. Look at what it says in verse number 20. We're going to skip down to verse 23, if you would. Jesus answered and said unto him, he answers a question that Judas, this is not Judas Iscariot now, but it's Judas who is not Iscariot. It says in verse 23, if a man love me, now here we go. If you love the Lord, ready? What are we to do? He will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus gives some encouragements there. How do we get to know the Father better? Well, we already said through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. He helps us to know the Father better as we have God that's living within us. But now the Bible tells us there is a way for us to evidence our love for God. There's a way for us to show or to prove or to demonstrate the fact that we love God and even to get to know him better. Now, what is the way that we love God or show our love or evidence or prove our love and get to know the Lord better? Well, we fall in love with his word. We fall in love with his word. Notice the Bible says at the beginning of verse number 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So not only do we know we have his word, we treasure his word. We fall in love with his word, but we desire to obey his word as well. We want to live in obedience to his word. Can I say this, and I think we see this in verse 21, I think we see it in verse number 23 as well. God puts a premium on obedience, doesn't he? God puts a premium on obedience. He desires that we obey him. Don't let obedience be something that you say, well, that's just one of my options as far as my response to the Lord. No, God's putting a premium on it. He says, I would command you to obey. I've given you a command. You're to obey the commands that are in my word. As a matter of fact, if we would look at verses throughout the Bible, we would know that God puts a premium on obedience. In the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, the Bible says that a result of obedience is success. Remember, Joshua talks about this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. So we meditate on the Word of God and we spend time in it. We treasure it. We value it. But then we learn to obey it as well. And that's when success comes. Remember, we've been studying through the life of David. And one of the things that we noticed in the life of David is that Saul disobeyed a clear command of God. And the clear command of God was to take all that were all the Amalekites and to destroy them all and not bring anything back. Well, remember, David, I know he used excuses and he blamed it on the people, but remember, he brought the sacrifices back. And Samuel, as he's standing there before Saul, he says, What is the noise of the bleeding of the sheep that I hear? Well, I brought those back for the purpose of sacrificing them. I thought that was a good thing to do. And remember what Samuel said to him. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God puts a premium on obedience, doesn't he? And so he tells us that we'll have success when we obey. That's going to be the result of obedience, success. But then also, our obedience is superior to everything else. It's superior to even our sacrifices. He says there in 1 Samuel chapter number 15, and then the Bible tells us in James chapter 1 and verse number 25 that there are blessings that can be received from the Lord as a result of obedience. Remember, he says this, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. So you hear the word of God, again, you read it, you treasure it, but it's more than just falling in love with the Bible. It's saying, I'm reading it, I'm treasuring it, I'm falling in love with it, but I desire to obey it as well. So what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say that to get to know the Father better, we obey His commands. He's saying to us in the present day, learn to obey the commands that I have given to you. And then notice what He says will happen. Did you notice this in verse 23? Look at what He says here. He says, if a man love me, he will keep my word. So there He says, if you're going to evidence your love by keeping my words. But then He says this, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. So that applies to the Father and the Son, doesn't it? He says the Father will love him, and then He says, and we will come unto him. We're going to look at the last part of that verse in a minute, but what Jesus is saying here is the Father and the Son are going to share their love with those who obey the Word of God and set up a home within us. You say, well, I don't know if that makes sense, because He's already set up a home within us the moment He's trusted Christ as our Savior. But there is a possibility to have the fellowship that we have with the Lord so that it's not what it should be. We want that communion and that fellowship and that walk with the Lord to be sweet, don't we? And so He says at the end of verse number 23, He says, and make our abode with Him. That word abode has the idea of we're going to make our home with that Christian who loves God the Father, who loves God the Son, who loves God the Holy Spirit, and desires to obey the commandments that the Bible teaches us we ought to live by. Now that goes back to a thought we've already talked about. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit living within us. He's going to make His abode. He's going to get to dwell within us. But even though the Holy Spirit dwells within us and we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God, we can still sin against the Holy Spirit of God, can't we? We can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We can make Him sad by what we choose to do. The Bible says that we can quench the Holy Spirit of God. That word quench has the idea of putting out the fire that the Holy Spirit desires to have in our lives, that we have a fire in our hearts for the Lord. We can quench that. We can put out that fire. So we ought to desire that the fellowship be sweet, that He can make His abode within our hearts, and there can be sweet fellowship, there can be sweet joy. So how do we get to know the Father better? We get to know Him better as we look into His Word, find out what He desires for us to do, and then obey His commandments. So it's as simple as this. We need to yield to Him, don't we? We need to yield our lives to the Father. We fall in love with His Word. We pray and we spend time talking to Him as He talks to us. And then we choose to obey Him. And as a result of that, there's a deeper relationship that we have with Him. It's been said this way, and I hope this will make sense to you as I say this to you tonight, but it's been said this way, that salvation is the means of which we're going to heaven. But submission is the means of heaven coming to us. When we trust Jesus as our Savior, salvation is the means that's going to take us to heaven. But when we are submitted to the Lord, that's the way in which heaven comes to us. It gets sweet as we walk with the Lord when we're submitted to Him and we're obeying Him and we're doing what He would have for us to do. Now, we're not going to take the time to go to this passage of Scripture, but in the book of Genesis, chapter number 18, there's a story about a man named Abraham, and God is about to pour out His judgment on the city of Sodom. And, of course, Lot has pitched his tent towards Sodom. And the Bible tells us that some angels come to visit Abraham. You remember that story, I'm sure, perhaps from Genesis chapter 18. And the Bible tells us that the angels visit Abraham's tent. And the Bible tells us that these angels feel at home. As a matter of fact, they feel at home and they feel such peace and safety in being there in Abraham's tent that the Bible tells us they even enjoy a meal together. They feel right at home. They enjoy a meal together. They spend some time visiting with Abraham and even have a talk with Abraham. So I said all that to say this. Does God feel at home in your heart? Or is there something that stands in the way in which the fellowship with the Lord is not as sweet as what it should be? Does He feel at home in your heart? Are you able to know the Lord better because of His Holy Spirit that dwells within you? But then also the closeness of your walk with Him because you're looking into His Word, you know what He would have you to do, and you're making a choice to obey it. As we obey the Lord, He's going to manifest Himself to us in a deeper way. So you want to know the Lord better? Well, you got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And you want to know the Lord better? Just choose to obey Him. And He'll manifest Himself to us in a deep way, which is what He desires. He desires that we know Him. But then one last thing. Look at verse number 19, if you would. We're going to look at the end of this verse. I told you we were going to come back to this. And this shows us a couple things here at the very end, and we'll be done. We saw in the past that God reminds His disciples, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you so that you can know Me better. And by the way, that's true for us today as well. We have the Holy Spirit as Christians. But then in the present, He also lets us know if we're willing to look into His Word and obey it. Look into the mirror of God's Word. Find out what He wants us to do. Don't just hear, don't just see it, but learn to do it and obey it. But then He also tells us in the future that we're going to get to know the Lord better at His return as well. Look at what the Bible says at the end of verse number 19. It says this. He says these words, because I live, ye shall live also. Because the Lord lives, we're going to live. Now that tells us a few things. First of all, it lets us know we're dependent upon Him. We're dependent upon Him. Because He lives, we're going to live, which means that if He did not rise again, we would have no hope of a future resurrection, would we? But He's the resurrection and the life. He says that in John 11, doesn't He? He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, the only way we're going to live is because Christ lives. So we're dependent upon Him, aren't we? We were dependent upon His resurrection. So not only does it give us the great truth that we're dependent upon Him, but it also lets us know that we have our security in Him as well. Because He lives, we're going to have the hope and security of being able to live forever with the Lord. And by the way, we would be hasty in moving on without also saying that this also, I believe, gives us another wonderful picture of unity. Remember, we talked earlier about the oneness that we have with Christ and the unity that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, our oneness with the Lord. This is another wonderful picture of unity. Because He lives, we're going to get to live. The unity and the oneness that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the truth that we have to remember. Christ is going to come back, isn't He? And He's going to come back. He's going to receive those that are His. And the Bible tells us we're going to get to be with Him forever. And in heaven, if we know Christ as our Savior, we're going to have that glorified body. And so one day He will come. And when He comes and when we get to see Him in heaven, we're going to get to know the Lord as we see Him, as we have time to worship the Lord. What a joy that we're going to have when we get to spend eternity in heaven. But right now, the Bible tells us very clearly that Jesus is patiently giving opportunity, isn't He? He's patiently waiting. He's patiently giving opportunity for those sinners that need to turn to Him. As a matter of fact, I think we clearly see that in 2 Peter chapter 3, where God says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then the Bible says, that day will come, though, like a thief in the night, the Bible says, that day will come. Jesus Christ will return. Again, he's going to reign in power and in great glory, isn't he? He's going to rule, and there's going to be judgment that's going to take place. But he waits for sinners to repent. We don't know when he's coming back, but we do know that he will keep his promise, won't he? One day we're going to get to know him as we get to see him, as we get to worship him, as we get to hear, as we get to experience heaven in the presence of God for all eternity. I know I've said this so many times that perhaps you would be able to say it along with me, but I still say that it has to be true that the greatest punishment of hell is separation from God, to no longer be able to be in the presence, to have God's presence at all for all of eternity. For the saved, we're going to get to be in his presence for all of eternity, aren't we? We're going to get to be with him. The great joy of knowing that I can know the Father better while I'm here on earth. I don't have to wait to get to heaven. I can know him while I'm here on earth, and I can know him because his Holy Spirit lives within me, because I read his word and I desire to obey his commands. But then there's going to be a day in which I'm going to get to know him as I live in his presence for all of eternity, get to worship him, get to see him. What great joy we have. How well do you know the Father? How well do you know the Father? I think we answer that question based upon these things that we talked about tonight. Is there something in your life that's causing the Holy Spirit to be grieved, to be quenched? The Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you that allows us to get to know the Father better. Are you obeying the commands of God? Are you reading God's word? Do you know what he'd have you to do? And are you living in obedience to that? That's a way to get to know the Father better. And then just the great rejoicing in knowing that we're going to get to be in his presence and worship him for all of eternity when we get to spend heaven with him and get to know our Father in such a wonderful way. Father, I thank you tonight for the truths of your word tonight in John chapter 14.